Good morning and welcome to this news event hosted by E2, the Environmental Entrepreneurs and Clean Energy Trust. You'll be hearing from four speakers today. Before we start, I want to invite the operator on the line to explain how the Q&A period will work.
During the question and answers, during the question and answer session, you may ask a question by pressing star then one on your touchtone phone. If you would like to remove yourself from queue, you may press star then two. Again, it's star then one to ask a question.
And we'll have the operator back on the line at the start of the Q&A period to repeat those instructions about how members of the news media can pose questions. As I mentioned, you'll be hearing from four speakers today. Our first speaker today will be Ian Adams, Managing Director at Clean Energy Trust. Our second speaker today will be Alois Thomas, Chief Administration Officer at Detroit-based Solutions for Energy Efficient Logistics. Our third speaker today will be Christopher Gersh, CEO and founder at Chicago-based Verde Solution. And lastly, our fourth speaker will be Michaela Preskill, Midwest States Advocate at E2 Environmental Entrepreneurs. And to follow along to today's news event, you can find the news release and Midwest Clean Energy Jobs Report on the web at cleanjobsmidwest.com. Again, that website is cleanjobsmidwest.com. All right, let's begin with our first speaker. That's Ian Adams, Managing Director at Clean Energy Trust. Ian?
Thanks and good morning. Yes, my name is Ian Adams, Managing Director at Clean Energy Trust. We're a nonprofit organization that supports early stage startups in the Midwest and Mid-Continent region of the United States, working on clean energy and sustainable solutions. And we really believe in the power of innovation and entrepreneurship to create jobs and drive economic growth. Welcome and thank you for joining us this morning. Today, along with Environmental Entrepreneurs, Clean Energy Trust is excited to share the Clean Jobs Midwest report. This is the fifth annual report of this subject, and we cover clean energy employment across 12 states in the Midwest. I'd like to share a little bit of context and some top lines from the report with you. A few things we found. Clean energy has been one of the region's fastest growing employment sectors, growing nearly 5% since 2017, and almost four times faster than total statewide employment in the region between 2017 and 2019. Last year, clean energy employment in the Midwest increased for the fifth straight year and accounts for more than 2% of the entire Midwest workforce. So it's substantial and growing. However, like a lot of other areas, you know, 2020 is different. With the pandemic and economic downturn, we're seeing some significant impacts there. However, clean energy is still a very important part of our economy. And the industry is really well positioned to be an engine of growth to drive the economic recovery because of where it was in the run-up to this pandemic. So our report specifically found that there are more than 744,000 clean energy workers in the Midwest at the end of 2019. This is across five sectors that we looked at: energy efficiency, which is the largest portion, renewable energy generation, like in wind and solar, advanced transportation, such as folks manufacturing electric vehicles, grid and storage, as well as clean fuels. Our report has detailed information to help share with the public about the industry, to learn more about where these jobs are, what these jobs are, and who the people are in these jobs. We've got information on in the report about where the jobs are across county, legislative district, and more. And one thing we found is that while there are a lot of jobs in the clean energy industry in some metropolitan hubs like Chicago and Detroit, you know, these jobs are really distributed throughout the region in every corner of every state in the Midwest. At the end of 2019, Michigan and Illinois led the region with more than 125,000 jobs each. Unfortunately, with the pandemic, there have been significant losses throughout the region. Illinois, Michigan, and Ohio have been hit hardest by these job losses. And since March, more than 131,000 clean energy workers in the Midwest have filed for unemployment overall. which wipes out years of job growth in an industry that was growing quite quickly. Nonetheless, you know, we're inspired by the individuals working in the clean energy sector across the Midwest, and we use the report to highlight some of these folks. You know, these are factory workers who manufacture high efficiency appliances, you know, electric vehicles and the parts that go into them, you know, individuals installing wind turbines in rural areas and solar panels on rooftops, as well as innovators developing and helping to deploy superior clean energy technologies that are saving businesses and consumers money, you know, all while creating jobs. So in 2019, the clean energy industry was growing faster than the overall economy in the Midwest, and it was really expected to do so going into 2020, creating jobs and economic prosperity. So while there have been headwinds in the pandemic, we are still optimistic about this industry, and we know that it's a key component of economic recovery and growth in the Midwest going forward. So I look forward to hearing the other speakers and to your questions. Thanks for joining today.
Again, that was Ian Adams, Managing Director at Clean Energy Trust. And that takes us to our second speaker today, who is Alois Thomas, Chief Administration Officer at Detroit-based Solutions for Energy Efficient Logistics.
Thanks, Alex.
Alois?
Sure. Yes, my name is Dr. Alois Thomas, and as Alex stated, I serve as the Chief Administrative Officer for SEAL LLC. SEAL stands for Solutions for Energy Efficient Logistics. And our company is a certified minority business entity that is owned by a disabled veteran. We provide EE solutions with a high focus in underserved markets. We have 10 locations in 6 states, including Michigan, Illinois, Kentucky, and Indiana in the Midwest, as well as Georgia and Mississippi in the South. We have serviced over 500,000 customers. Nationally, the Midwest is a clean energy job powerhouse. Small businesses drive the region's clean energy sector. Part of my research was on small and medium enterprises and how they have such a huge impact on the economic balance in local communities. At SEAL, we employ over 130 EE professionals and stakeholders who share in our zeal for clean energy. Over 85% of our employees transition from blue-collar to green-collar workers because of our robust training program and investments in our team. In addition, 100% of our employees are local to the areas that we service. Part of the report findings indicated that prior to COVID-19, Michigan was home to more than 125,300 clean energy jobs and was a leader in the region. Small businesses drive the state's clean energy sector, and in 2019, nearly 80% of Michigan clean energy businesses employed fewer than 20 employees. Since March, however, 31,124 Michigan clean energy workers have filed for unemployment, including over 1,000 new claims in May. So for SEAL, our biggest struggle has honestly been procuring the items needed to safely start up, but our purchasing team did an amazing job in closing the gap. Naturally, the new normal requirement includes PPE, face masks, sanitizer, face shields, and other items that were not necessarily a part of your original budget with your clients. Crisis moments, however, also presents opportunities for more cutting-edge and flexible use of technology, a revived appreciation for the outdoors and life other simple pleasures, as well as a chance to invest in your team. So initially, many of our field employees were laid off, along with some office members, but within a few weeks, we were able to bring back most of our team for some training in building science principles, Six Sigma, continuous improvement, driver safety, as well as some other leadership training. This occurred concurrently with our work with our clients to resume a safe operations in the field. So we've also experienced programmatic loss, however. In Indiana, we started a program 3 days before the COVID-19 outbreak was declared a pandemic. The program was shut down the day of our program kickoff, and the project has remained on hold for over 3 weeks. We have yet to receive a confirmed restart date, and we have those employees, of course, anxiously awaiting their path into their new career. I wish I had a crystal ball to sort of determine what COVID-19 has in place for our country, but the restraints on mass consumer culture and gatherings is certainly a reasonable price for us to pay to protect ourselves against this global novel virus. In the coming months, I am optimistic that our new normal will become second nature to us, because I predict that we will be wearing masks and continuously washing our hands and sanitizing often, which is honestly a good hygiene tactic anyway. Thank you guys for letting us be a part of this.
Again, that was Elois Thomas, Chief Administration Officer at Detroit-based Solutions for Energy Efficient Logistics. That takes us to our third speaker this morning, which is Christopher Gersh, CEO and founder at Chicago-based Verde Solution. Chris?
Great. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for listening today. My name is Christopher Gersh, and I am the founder and CEO of Verde Solutions, headquartered out of Chicago, Illinois. We also have offices in Lake County, Illinois, Cleveland, Ohio, and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Obviously, having a very Midwest-focused origin, we're able to, expand our services to over 48 states in the last 8 years since we founded in 2012. Verde Solutions specializes in energy efficiency and renewable energy development and construction. Our staff includes professional engineers, lighting, LED, HVAC, and solar architects, utility rebate specialists, and our professional installers. Verde Solutions has been an Inc. 5000 recipient for the last 3 years, highlighting the immense growth in the energy efficiency community. Unfortunately, we do not believe this will be a possible achievement in 2000. Pre-COVID, we were at 56 employees and continuing to grow very, very quickly. We had over 4 crews installing different commercial solar systems at any given time. And now we have gone down to 38 employees and 2 full-time crews. Just about one-third of our people we called family are no longer with us. A lot of individuals have been with the organization since its start, some with, and many of them with their spouses being let go. It's been a really trying time. We are actively trying to rehire these individuals back into the team, but unfortunately, every month we are forced to continue to furlough our employees despite the tough situations they are going through due to, closures in permitting departments, board meetings no longer taking place to move these projects along. It's causing a lot of pain points. I particularly am, along with my team, we're looking for policy and legislation that can help create the momentum that we had the last several years in renewables in the Midwest. As a blue-collar kid who struggled, with hunger and things like that growing up, we have a big focus on giving back to the community. We actually donate over 1,000 meals for every home or commercial solar system that we install. And we positively impact the community, and I believe renewables does that. Renewables is good for our community, our environment, and the growing economy. And so we're looking for legislation that can obviously help push the momentum forward and create some more jobs and get people back to work. Thank you.
Again, that was Christopher Gersh, CEO and founder at Chicago-based Verde Solutions. And that takes us to our fourth and final speaker this morning, which is Michaela Presco, Midwest States Advocate at E2 Environmental Entrepreneurs. Michaela?
Thanks, Alex, and thank you so much to everyone for joining us today. My name is Michaela Preskill, and I'm E2's Midwest Advocate. For those who aren't familiar, E2 is a national nonpartisan group of business leaders who advocate for policies that are good for the environment and good for the economy. So I'm here today to talk about the role that policy can play in building back the clean energy industry and creating jobs throughout the region. Let me start quickly by recapping some of the major takeaways from the data today. There were more than 744,000 clean energy workers in the Midwest at the end of 2019. And clean energy had been one of the biggest and fastest growing employment sectors in the region. It grew nearly 5% since 2017 and almost 4 times faster than total statewide employment. And despite indications, you may have heard that there is a robust economic recovery underway, that's not what we're seeing yet in clean energy. Our analysis found that nearly 5,000 jobs were lost in the Midwest in May, and that brings the total to over 131,000 clean energy jobs lost since the beginning of the COVID-19 crisis. So we hope to see the next iteration of COVID-related stimulus from Congress next week. And we know that the House and Senate are currently considering the role clean energy can play. The good news is we know clean energy investments and stimulus focused on clean energy can help lead us back to a strong economy. Clean energy jobs cover such a wide swath of the economy, from construction to manufacturing to automobiles. And they also cover every corner of our 12-state region. So we know that we can get the most people back to work across the most occupations in the least amount of time. We know clean energy-related stimulus is the right approach because it's already been done and it worked. In 2008, America invested $90 billion in clean energy, and no part of the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act delivered more. In the following years, new jobs were created. More than 100,000 wind, solar, and clean energy projects broke ground, and it led to the weatherization of 1 million homes, which put electricians, HVAC technicians, and construction workers back to work right away. States can also play a major role. We know state policies that support renewables, energy efficiency, and electric vehicles can create jobs. One example in the Midwest is after the Future Energy Jobs Act passed in Illinois, the state added more clean energy jobs than any Midwestern state last year. So our message is this. We can do this. We can put Midwesterners back on the job today, and we can build a cleaner economy going forward. We need to see leadership in Washington, D.C. and in our state capitals right away.
Thanks. And again, that was Michaela Preskill, Midwest States Advocate at E2 Environmental Entrepreneurs. And that takes us to the Q&A portion of the call. I want to invite the operator back on the line to explain once again how the Q&A period will work. Operator?
Certainly. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone phone. If you decide to withdraw your question, please press star then two to remove yourself from the list. Please limit yourself to one question and one single follow-up. If you need to ask an additional question, please know you may press star then one to rejoin the queue.
And while we're waiting for our first question, as I mentioned before, you can find today's news release and Midwest Jobs Report on the web at cleanjobsmidwest.com. Again, that website is cleanjobsmidwest.com. And after this news event is over, you can contact Alex Frank at 703-276-3264 to be connected with any of the speakers that you've heard from today. And I just wanted to note that you'll also be joined today in the Q&A period by Phil Jordan, who's Vice President and Principal of BW Research. All right, operator, let's take our first question.
And our first question today will come from David Clark with Inside EPA. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Thank you. I'm very interested in the notion that you're looking for policy and legislation to help. How confident are you as to the responses from the Senate and House as they debate this issue now?
Well, we know that this is Michaela with E2. Thank you for the question. We know that the House and Senate are currently considering clean energy related stimulus. Last week, both the House and the Senate held hearings on the topics of energy, jobs, and stimulus. We also know that the track record for how clean energy-related stimulus really played a major role in bringing our economy back after the 2008 recession is, the best case we could possibly make for why we need similar big ideas and big steps on clean energy in our current crisis. So we're definitely optimistic, and we know it's something that's under consideration.
Thank you.
Operator, let's take our next question.
And our next question will come from Ted Cox with One Illinois. Please go ahead.
Yes, this is for Mr. Gersh or perhaps Ms. Preskill. I assume you're familiar with the Clean Energy Jobs Act in Illinois. Is that the kind of legislation that you're talking about? And what exactly would that do to provide momentum?
Yeah. Michaela, do you mind if I
take this one first?
It sounds like it was just me, but I actually didn't hear the question. It was breaking up. I'm sorry if you could repeat it. And then, Chris, please do jump in.
I'm asking about the Clean Energy Jobs Act in Illinois, and if that's the sort of legislation you're talking about, and what exactly that would do to provide momentum.
Yep. So this is Chris Gersh from Verde Solutions. Currently, the Clean Energy Jobs Act produced a large amount of solar renewable energy credits through the Illinois IPA. Fortunately, it was a very successful program, which has allowed a tremendous amount of solar development and job creation. It is now on block five. They've indicated pricing, but they have not funded that block. So really, we're up against a cliff as far as funding for that particular, that program. We have goals for the state to reach, 30% offset by 2025, and we're well under that. Clean Energy Jobs Act would allow us, to have that program continue to be funded, would allow us to continue to develop projects at a high clip. Really, as far as the solar renewable energy credits, that subsidizes a lot of our commercial and non-profit, like College of Lake County and some of the municipality wastewater treatment plants, a lot of those projects that we're doing, that accounts for up to, 35 to 40% of the total cost to build that project, which investors are very interested in those credits. And so where institutions public universities and schools and things like that can't monetize tax credits and all the other things that come along with solar development, having that solar renewable energy credit be able to subsidize some of that build out and have investors come in and really finance the entire project, that would be a great opportunity for us to continue that momentum.
Thank you.
Operator, let's take our next question.
All right. And our next question will come from Chris Hubbuch with Wisconsin State Journal. Please go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, I'm just wondering if there is any legislation that's been introduced or offered in Wisconsin at state level that you think would accomplish what you're hoping to.
This is Michaela with E2. Thank you for the question, Chris. I think, not sure anyone on the call has expertise on Wisconsin, but we can connect you to our partners that we've been working with at Renew Wisconsin that can follow up with
okay.
A good answer for you.
Sure, I can follow up with them too.
Okay, awesome.
Great.
Operator, let's take our next question.
And our next question will come from Hannah Misiel with The Daily Line. Please go ahead.
Hi. I'm wondering which sector you believe, whether it be solar, wind, will, one, have the greatest opportunity for a comeback and, maybe also the quickest. I'm sure probably solar maybe has a lower entry point there with speed of getting things. But, which sector do you think shows the most promise in quicker recovery for jobs?
Yeah. Well, my doing LED, new generation HVAC, solar and wind, I can tell you that solar definitely has, you are correct in your assumption, with legislation, potentially extension of the federal ITC tax credit, that brings in capital partners, private equity that want to monetize those credits and develop a long-term return on investment, for investment packages. So large-scale projects would come back very quickly if they saw legislation come in, just like it did with the Clean Energy Jobs Act. Throughout the Midwest, we build projects in Wisconsin and Ohio, Michigan, Martin High School, and all those were really, we saw them go from interest to boots on the ground, turning wrenches with positive legislation. And so I would really think that solar would be the biggest. It has the largest dollar figure and therefore puts more people on the ground. LED energy efficiency, those are usually utility-based. And then obviously wind just takes so much permitting. You know, the timetable for wind projects is closer to 2 years from really, you know, go, whereas solar projects with the right permitting structures, which we're starting to adopt with more installs, can be, you know, 3 to 6 months in deployment.
And this is Ian Adams of Clean Energy Trust. I agree with what Chris is saying, right? There's a lot of opportunities in solar. I think another area that it's worth mentioning, and Chris touched on briefly on the energy efficiency side, well, there are a lot of programs on the utility side. There are definitely opportunities, particularly like niche opportunities there as we look about at recovery. One in particular is like looking at municipal buildings and schools. You know, energy efficiency is something that those jobs are spread throughout the region. So they're, you know, in every state, in every metropolitan area, and they can be, it can be often like a retro upgrade work that can be done and in buildings. And right now, for example, it's both summer and all the schools are closed. So there could actually be an opportunity in terms of investing, you know, if municipalities had the dollars, if school districts had the dollars to invest in energy efficiency, there are opportunities there that could be really useful targeted opportunities to, you know, upgrade buildings that are owned by municipalities while no one's using them and help save municipalities money.
Yeah, this is Michaela with E2, and Ian, you took the words right out of my mouth. I think there's tremendous potential for energy efficiency, and I wonder if Alois has anything to add on that. But I think there, you know, we have miles and miles of power grid lines, and we can be upgrading them to make them more efficient. And we've been talking about a national car charging network in this country for years, and we can put Americans back to work with a 21st century infrastructure program. So I think there's real potential to build jobs across all the sectors of the clean energy economy.
Well, we want to make sure that reporters on the line have a chance to pose their questions while we have all of our speakers here today. I just want to invite the operator back on the line once again to go through the instructions. Operator?
Certainly. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star then one on your touch-tone phone. To remove yourself from queue, you may press star then two. Again, it is star then one to ask a question.
And while we're waiting for our next question, I just want to stress that you can find today's news release and Midwest Jobs Report on the web at the cleanjobsmidwest.com website. Again, that's cleanjobsmidwest.com. That's where a streaming audio replay of this news conference, that's where it will be made available as of 2 p.m. Eastern Time later today. Operator, do we have any additional questions?
At this time, I see no additional questions.
Okay. Well, I just want to make sure that we give reporters online one last opportunity to ask questions while we have all four of our speakers here on today's call. So, operator, if you would like to go through the instructions one last time.
Certainly. And as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one on your touchtone phone. Again, that is star, then one to ask a question.
Operator, do we have an additional question at this time?
We do. We have a follow-up question from Hannah Meisel from The Daily Line. Please go ahead.
Hi. Maybe I'm not looking at the right report. What I see is a two-page report, but which state lost the most clean energy jobs during the pandemic?
So our latest data has that Michigan has lost the most. They just over 31,000 jobs lost. Behind that is Ohio with just over 20,000 jobs lost.
And then, I mean, a lot of these jobs are temporary. Is that correct? I mean, they're already, like, are you counting the ones that are project-based that would naturally have an end date for job losses, or how are you counting that?
Yeah, I can speak to that. Just in my particular situation, a lot of solar developers here in Illinois and Illini myself, but the biggest a lot of solar developers, our guys are career guys, so they're W-2 employees. They're not 1099 contractors. In the figures that I put out earlier in the discussion, it was just those were W-2 losses. A lot of solar developers in the Midwest, they'll have the same guys that work on commercial jobs also work on residential. So in my particular case, when I have a project, I pull from the residential installer team to develop, those projects. And then when we slow down, there was a bigger marketing and sales focus, but, they stay on the job and they just go back on the residential side. So the loss in jobs for these individuals was a true loss, not to mention some of the staff, just because there's a shutdown of both residential and commercial solar, because you couldn't, go in anyone's home. You couldn't, sell. It was very hard to sell virtually. And obviously everyone was kind of, with the market pullback, kind of keeping tight to their pocketbooks. But to answer your question, no, these aren't temporary jobs, at least in my instance. It could be possible for other companies, but I'm sure Michaela can speak to that.
Yeah, and this is Phil Jordan. And so on the jobs numbers, the job loss numbers are based on unemployment insurance filings. And so while there is a new program for pandemic unemployment assistance that would cover some gig workers or temporary workers, the overwhelming majority of these are people who paid into unemployment insurance through their W-2. So it's not like we look at this as a project basis. It could be that these are some workers who are, like an electrical contracting company that does work for a variety of different developers or general contractors or other larger construction firms. But those employees are permanent full-time waged employees for the most part. There's certainly some that would fall under the PUA program, but by and large, these are permanent job losses.
And this is Dr. Thomas from Michigan. As it relates to CO, I was going to share that same commentary. Basically, these are full-time W-2 employees that we employ, not temporary employees. And we're also able to allow them to work various programs from the residential segment to the commercial one as well.
Operator, let's take our next question.
And our next question will be a follow-up from David Clark with Inside EPA. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks. I am wondering what has to happen as far as the pandemic is concerned. We're seeing numbers continuing to rise in this country. What has to happen in that respect in order for the job growth and acceleration in clean energy to happen? Are there some metrics that have to occur first?
So this is Phil Jordan. I can take a stab at that broadly and then turn it over. I think that there are a couple of things about the clean energy sector that allow it to sort of continue to operate or be stimulated regardless of sort of some of the second wave or accelerating first wave impacts, depending on how you look at it. And the benefits of the clean energy sector in terms of recovery and why those investments can be productive throughout the economy is because there are a large number of these jobs that can be either performed outside or at distance or in vacant buildings, as Ian suggested. So there is a significant opportunity for clean energy with the right, not only sort of stimulus investments, but also some thought about phasing and prioritizing clean energy work around those safety measures, despite sort of what may happen more broadly. Now, that being said, residential energy efficiency is one area in particular where additional waves and shelter-in-place orders could have pretty significant impacts, right? Because if the virus is spiraling out of control, homeowners are much less likely to be welcoming, you know, strangers into their home to do work, which is likely not something that is going to impact commercial or utility scale solar and even residential solar, because most of that work is done outside. So I think, you know, there are certainly some pandemic related issues that we'd want to look at for specific segments. But one of the real keys, we think, about why clean energy is a valuable and productive sector to focus on for stimulus and policy intervention is precisely because a lot of the activity can be prioritized to be done safely pre-vaccine.
Operator, do we have any additional questions at this time?
And at this time, I see no additional questions.
All right. Well, we know some reporters will want to take their questions offline. So at this point, I just want to go back to Michaela Presco for some closing thoughts for today. Michaela?
Thanks, Alex. And thanks again, everybody, for joining us today. You know, in conclusion, clean energy has been one of the region's biggest and fastest growing employment sectors. As you've heard already today, it was growing 5% since the beginning of 2017 and almost four times faster than total statewide employment. But the industry is like so much of the economy, is hurting. Because of the clean energy's track record in substantial growth leading up to the pandemic, and success at putting people back to work after the 2008 recession, we know that the federal government and states can play a major role in putting Midwesterners back on the job today through clean energy-related stimulus. And we know this is the right approach. So the last thing I want to say is we need to look at recovery as building the future that we want. And we have an opportunity now to not only restart our economy, but also to build a cleaner and more robust one.
Thank you, Michaela. And we want to make sure that you know where to get more information about today's news event before we close. You can contact Alex Frank at 703-276-3264 to be connected with any of the speakers that you've heard from today, or if you have any additional questions. As I said before, you can find today's news release and Midwest Clean Energy Jobs Report on the web at cleanjobsmidwest.com. Again, that website is cleanjobsmidwest.com. It's where a streaming audio replay of this briefing will be made available as of 2 p.m. Eastern Time later today. Again, you've been listening to a news event hosted by E2 Environmental Entrepreneurs and Clean Energy Trust. I want to thank all of our panelists for joining us today, as well as all of you who joined to listen in. And that concludes today's news event. Thank you.